Welcome, everyone, to a special The Quartering stream brought to you by Rumble, right on the Rumble stage, live in front of Fiserv Forum, where tonight there will be the RNC debates, the first RNC debates. I am joined by this woman going through her purse, Luke Wodkowski. His channel links are all in the description down below. You may know him from We Are Change. You may know him from his booming t-shirt business. You may also know him from his occasional appearances on that other beanie-related show. And so welcome, Luke. How are you?
First of all, it's called The Merce, and it's hotter than Chris Christie's butt crack over here. We are live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It smells like cheese and cheddar on the streets here. I don't know what's going on. Everyone literally looks like Jeremy here. I walk around. Everyone has a neck beard. Everyone has a hat. Everyone clearly loves cheddar. I've been walking around here, and I'm like, Jeremy, where are you? Where are you? And he's always right next to me. We're going to have a lot of fun here. I don't even know what camera exactly to look into. But this is pretty much the Super Bowl for political autists, the first Republican presidential debates. I'm very excited to be here with you, Jeremy. You, of course, provide some very entertaining commentary, some very interesting perspectives into things. So I am amped up. Yep. On the autism here, on the suits here, on all the establishment,
so many suits
sweating their you know what off, and man, it's just gonna be a crazy day because it's a huge news day. There's Trump, there's Tucker competing with Fox News.
Yeah.
There's the debates. If Trump gets arrested, maybe one of these guys is going to be president of the United States.
Know.
Excuse me. Or the next puppet of the United States. That's how I say it here. Yeah. I have my own opinions. Jeremy has his. So it's going to be fun discussing all of this here.
Let's name some of the big names we've already seen. Tim Pool.
Yeah, we saw Tim Pool at the casino.
Dang,
no surprise there that we posted that on our Twitter. Twitter, Luke, We Are Change. If you want to see us hanging out with Tim Pool. But I don't know. He seemed a little confused. He's not here today, which is a shame because he also provides very excellent political commentary that is so desperately needed in this day of just spin rooms and chaos and bullcrap.
Chris Christie, we saw Lauren Southern 8 or 9 times.
All the women here are blonde and from German origin.
Yeah,
so,
blonde, tall, and thin.
Yeah.
The amount of suits last night at the hotel, I don't know if you noticed, the price of the suits kept going up throughout the night. So when we ate dinner, there was like regular suits.
Yeah, cheap suits.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that you get at like Macy's or whatever.
Yeah. But then by the time like 10, 11 o'clock came around, it was fancy suit hour. There was a lot of expensive suits.
It's the suits where you had the little babies make them in a factory in India where, you know, they really, really used a lot of baby labor. You know, they really paid attention to fine detail there. And you could see it. You could see it on a lot of these establishment rhino types here.
There's no replacing baby hands.
No, I mean, absolutely. I mean, they have those little hands for a reason. You got to get the little needle. You got to get the etching just right in there. And baby slave labor by the millionaire class that uses them to, of course, make their, fancy suits. You see it. It's a work of art.
You may hear what is commonly referred to as the soundtrack of Milwaukee. Some police sirens. It's absolutely.
It's
very
like
normal.
Super ghetto here, out of nowhere. You're like walking around. It's like, oh yeah, I'm like in Bavaria here, and then like, holy crap, I'm in The Wire. What? I don't know what the hell is going on here. So it's weird because it's like one block really nice, one block I'm gonna get stabbed. So.
Yes, and we nearly did get stabbed last night on our journey. But what I was trying to explain to Luke last night was, I assume this is not unique to Milwaukee. It's probably a big city thing. Once you get downtown, you know, there's like 4 or 5 blocks around the core of downtown that are super safe. But if you go to that 6th block,
watch out. Watch out.
Last night I went on a...
We went on a walking...
A walkabout.
Yeah. I love walking. I've been like huge into health lately, and like walking, it's like the next cardio. It's like one of the best things you could do. Don't run.
It's the next cardio.
Seriously, it is. It is.
The government doesn't want you to know.
Yes. Walking is good for you. Yeah. They want you on the seed oils. They want you on the high fructose corn syrup. They want you chucking down all the poison so, you know, you could be not healthy. So, yeah, we went on a long walk yesterday all around downtown here. I love walking. One of the best things you could do for your health. Can't recommend it enough. Get a step counter. Get your ass moved. Get your buttocks, gluteus maximus moving, because it's one of the best things for you.
Well, you know, it was an interesting night. I met up with Luke early, and we went for a little walkabout, and then he's like, hey, let's go up here. Then we ended up in a stairwell on the 17th or 18th floor of a building, and we just kept going up. We're trying to get to this particular spot, and then we were like on the 20th floor, 21st floor, and I just gave up. I said, Luke, let me know if you find Shangri-La when you get to the top. I will be down here sweating.
More unneeded medical health advice. When you walk around new areas that you've never been in before, your mind and starts to connect neural pathways, and it's literally brain food. So every time I'm in a new city, I was never here in Milwaukee, I do see a lot of cheese hats. It does smell like cheese, but other than that, it's an okay city. So walking around is awesome. So it was really cool just urban exploring into that weird area that we were at yesterday. We were with some other people, other LukeUnfiltered.com members that came out and hung out with us. We did a little meetup here that Jeremy was...
Luke has fans.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. We've been tallying like how many times
Luke's
we get recognized
still
currently
here. In the lead of people that recognize. Right when we got in, it couldn't have been more emasculating when Luke and I walked in for the first time, and about seven people in a row were like, oh my God, it's Luke. And then I started to make some headway late night when my people, the degens, started coming out. You know, that
they were all drinking. They were all smoking. They were all degenerates.
Yeah, all of them. Yeah, I made up some
not
ground.
Not good people.
No, the best people. They're the best people.
They're not good people. They're the best people.
Yeah,
that's right. They were good people. They were really fun. And we had a lot of fun here walking around and just meeting everybody and just hanging out. And this is what I really like about it. You get to meet people. I never met you in real life.
Yeah.
We got to hang out. We got to actually hit the streets here. A lot of these politicians, I mean, they do their little meet and greets. A lot of these suits, a lot of these. Can I even say the word that I said for them yesterday here on the show?
I believe you can.
The prostitutes.
Yeah.
the prostitutes over there. They're in their little baby made suits. They're away from everybody. They're in their high towers, literally and figuratively, that we tried to get into yesterday. It's a world of difference. So
I haven't felt rejection like that since my junior prom.
Exactly.
We were working very diligently to try and get into the spin room. And Luke, I mean, we stopped at a bodega. They had knee pads. I don't really want to know. But we were willing to do whatever it took. And it's not over yet. We're still fighting.
To be fair, this was your original idea. I was like, I don't know if I want to go that far. Yeah. But you know.
If we're going to go, we go all the way.
We saw one guy walking down the dark alley with a spin room pass. Yeah. And you know, my old Brooklynese, New York City kind of attitude kind of came back there
for a
little bit.
Something happened to him, we don't know.
You know, maybe, you know, I don't know. But I don't know nothing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see. Hey, somebody in chat asked, and I saw this. I don't know if you followed this story. I just happened to see it. James O'Keefe under investigation. What a coinky ding.
From the
New York
DOJ?
City.
New York City. Holy cow. No, that's just awful. I mean, James O'Keefe has been doing absolutely really key, incredible work. I've been working. I worked with him before in Greece. Truly a man who's putting a lot on the line. Mm. And even when he speaks with the understanding that what he does has consequences. Because, there's a particular push and pull. I haven't heard about this story, so this is just breaking news for me personally, myself. I'm going to kind of try to look into it more myself. Do they say exactly what he's being charged with or what he's being investigated for? Because he already was swatted by the FBI
over the
Biden, the Ashley Biden diary, which you shouldn't look up. Don't look up what
Google
she was
that.
Writing there.
Stop it.
Don't look up what she was saying when she was, you know, afraid to shower with Joe Biden inside of the house.
Don't look that up.
Don't look that up, because it really shows a bad light on the sniffler and chief. That's not a good one. So, I mean, with him and going through that saga with the FBI before, him being investigated right now, him talking, essentially how he's putting his life on the line here. It's just
interesting timing with Project Veritas folding just a few days before. Chat will bail us out on the investigation, which I'll circle back to.
Well, I'll go look it up right now, and I'll get more details about it right now.
Tonight we have a wonderful dais of individuals who really want to be president. And Luke and I were discussing last night which one on that dais is most likely to be rocked. By the way, did you guys know that Luke's visited Epstein Island?
Not in that way.
No, I don't know. I'm not saying what way he did it, but I'm saying that he was there and I wasn't there. That's all. When you're making judgments about who, you know.
You son of a gun.
But the, Omith Informed says, what do you guys think about the corporate media going after Vivek for not believing the official 9/11 story? One of the weakest smears, because he's the highest, he's a big riser.
Yep.
He widened his gap with DeSantis just the other day, at least according to those gambling
sites. Where did you learn that term, big riser? Well, I've heard that term used in political ideology before.
he's rising bigly, and then the 9/11 stuff, which essentially he did not make any definitive proclamations other than the U.S. government lied about Saudi involvement, which we now know due to thankfully St. Biden declassified. CNN says Biden did that, declassified those records, and he's telling the truth about that. So it seems real, like a spectacular reach to me.
Yeah, I mean, this is an issue that's kind of personal to me. Yeah. Very personal to everything that I've been through. I was in New York City on 9/11. I know, and I have gotten to know a lot of people affected by 9/11, a lot of family members, a lot of rescue workers, a lot of survivors, a lot of first responders, and majority of all of them do not feel satisfied with the 9/11 Commission that, even according to the own commissioners, didn't do a good job and were essentially covering up a lot of key information from a lot of powerful individuals. What happened on 9/11? Who exactly failed? Well, who knows? Who cares? We don't really care. This is an event that changed American history. Yep. It changed the American Constitution. It changed the American culture. The Republicans had the Senate. They had the House. They had all seats of power within Washington, D.C. And what did they do with it? Well, they launched more wars. They created more debt. And they destroyed this country from the inside, from where it used to be a nation that, again, you couldn't just spy on Americans. You couldn't just assassinate Americans. You couldn't just torture Americans. Now we're living in a totally new, different, lawless day and age after 9/11. So questioning 9/11, I think, is absolutely critical. I think it's important. I think there's a lot of things that don't add up, don't make sense at all. And if you look at the official version of events, the government really must think you're stupid if you're going to believe what they're trying to sell you on that particular day, because 9/11, what we know from that particular day is that absolutely the U.S. government lied to us. No matter what.
That's irrefutable.
Absolutely.
And what was also, people forget that little thing called the Patriot Act, which, by the way, didn't go away. It, in fact, has only gotten stronger. But to bring things back to the debate, we've got some interesting candidates. The front runner right now is Vivek. We went to Vivek's party last night.
What's going to be interesting is that with Vivek's comments on 9/11, he's getting attacked by the media viciously, especially CNN, who's like,
how could you dare?
Yeah. It used to be Rudy Giuliani that used to love 9/11 and couldn't stop talking about it, but now it's CNN. Everything is just polar opposite from where it was a couple years ago, especially with the neocons now becoming predominantly liberals. It doesn't make any sense at all. But when you truly look at it, we also saw allegedly leaked memos from the DeSantis camp that DeSantis is going to be going after Vivek. There's probably going to be Mike Pence, Nikki Haley. They're also going to be going after Vivek. So this is going to be Vivek's moment if he's going to be crushed by all the pressure, if he's going to face so much criticism, if he's going to, of course, just be bombarded with individuals. Will he be able to stand up for himself and stand up on his principles and not backtrack? That's going to be a very key indicator of something that I said a couple days ago, because as soon as I saw Alex Stein, shouts out to Alex Stein, Primetime 999. He's a pimp on the blimp. He's the one who asked Vivek Ramaswamy, like, hey, 9/11, tell me what you think. And Vivek said, we absolutely weren't told the truth here, which he's absolutely right about. All the family members majority of family members stand behind that messaging. So as soon as I saw that video, I'm like, he's going to get attacked. Let's see how he stands up to this. And he has been standing up to Mike Pence on Twitter. He has CNN. Been standing up to CNN. Mm-hmm. I think he could be a lot stronger on the issue because this is a key issue that a lot of American people care about, that a lot of American people know deep down something is not right about, as Donald Trump, even in 2016, was talking about how Saudi Arabia was involved in 9/11, was talking about specifically how George W. Bush was connected to 9/11.
Yeah.
So Donald Trump let the bombs fly in 2016, and he got rewarded for it with his performance here. Will Vivek Ramaswamy repeat that? We'll see tonight from the debate performance. But I think this is going to be a make or break moment for Vivek Ramaswamy. And I think this could make him the number one chief opponent against Donald Trump comparatively to how he is number three, according to some polls.
Yeah, I think the stage is set for an eerily similar one versus everyone, like it was with Trump during the initial, when in his 2016 run up against other Republican candidates. It really was just him versus everybody. And his masterful display that day of just basically crushing everybody is what propelled him.
Yeah.
Vivek has a very similar task tonight.
Yeah.
Because what I'm going to be curious about is, are the other Republicans going to take the liberal talking points now and try to bring up 9/11?
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to work, but that doesn't mean they won't do it.
I could see Nikki Haley and Mike Pence clutching their white pearls.
Yeah.
Like, my 9/11. Yeah. How dare you? I'm like, you son of a gun, you have no idea what you're talking about. You're a liar, you're a neocon, you're a warmonger, you're a murderer. Mm-hmm. I'm sick of Mike Pence. He's an absolute bootlicking establishment rhino that doesn't give a damn about the American people. The Republicans had everything after 9/11.
Yeah.
And then they squandered it. They screwed it over and they used all the power and authority that they were granted to as the nation was sitting and standing up for them and saying, do whatever you want, take whatever you want. And what did the Republicans do? Screwed everyone over.
Yeah.
Destroyed your livelihood, destroyed your ability to actually live a decent life. So it's just absolutely.
Tell us how you really feel, Luke. Luke got a full night's sleep.
I did. I checked my health app. So I'm like, oh yeah, I did good today. So we got some crappy establishment.
Establishment jams. Volume 7.
Kaka music. Family friendly show here.
Yeah.
Jeremy told me this is. I got to be careful here because I usually when I shoot my videos, I just kind of let it loose.
Yeah.
But Jeremy told me family friendly show. We respect all the family members here. I already messed up once. But we got some of the most awful elevator establishment brainwashing MK Ultra music playing in the background there that is meant to destroy you of your life, liberty, and happiness that you are endowed with, that the establishment sucks out of you in every opportunity that they get. So how do you really feel, Jeremy?
When I hear music like this, I wish we were higher up so, you know, I could. But anyway, tonight.
Oh, there's Rubin and what's his name? The White House press
Dave
correspondent.
Dave Rubin.
But Spencer? No.
Spicer?
No. Spicer.
Spicer.
Yeah, Spicer down there hanging out.
Yeah.
They're all on the Beanie Show on Timcast IRL. It's just crazy how many people like are around here. Truly like a prom for political losers.
For single men. Yeah, for men. It's an all-you-can-dude buffet. I've never seen a bigger sausage fest in my life.
Absolutely. Horrible ratio here. Horrible numbers.
Yeah, it's just terrible time to be a man.
Yeah. We had one really nice lady come out to the LukeUnfiltered.com membership. That's the kid, you know?
Yeah, so she went to the bathroom and I thought, she's definitely not coming back.
I'm surprised. Like, I keep doing these meetups. Like people from people from all different kind of like perspective demographics here because I did these meetups. I do the meetups for my members of LukeUnfiltered.com, but I did them in Miami, LA, Austin, Tampa. I did one here. All the guys, hats, neck beards, all of them. No surprise there. But it's really awesome just being able to meet the people behind the screens here. I have this story pulled up from the Independent about Project Veritas. I don't know if you still want to
get
into that specifically.
I want to circle back.
But this is an article from the Independent with the title that reads, "Fired founder of right-wing organization Project Veritas."
Or the right wing. The truth is right-wing.
The right wing is under investigation in New York. The fired founder of conservative nonprofit Project Veritas. How can you be a nonprofit? Again, the writing here by the Independent is already.
Yeah.
Pissing me off because it's so disingenuous. Quote, is under investigation by a suburban New York prosecutor's office for allegedly mistreating workers and misspending organizational funds.
Care.
So those are the charges related to Project Veritas that essentially has imploded on itself, fired, I think, all of their staff recently.
Yes.
And it's just such a shame because they were such a major, powerful organization that was just kind of kneecapped, taken out right before the presidential election, which kind of makes me wonder.
Pfizer.
Very good, Pfizer expose. I'm not saying they're related. I'm not saying that they have billions of dollars in marketing that they get siphoned in for the taxpayers, and I'm not saying that
they bought off regulators and scientists and medical doctors
and then pushed a rushed experimental gene therapy that has led to
I'm not saying that
they injured a huge amount of American people in unspeakable ways that I personally know that are now injured and have their lives ruined and are in wheelchairs because they decided to trust the frickin' Trump scene. Yeah. I'm not saying that.
No.
But if I would be saying anything, it's Pfizer, get your sixth booster, get your seventh booster, they're coming, and do what your doctor says because, be a good slave.
Be
a good follower, and life's just easier when you just go along with the sheep and then get put to slaughter.
Swimming upstream is hard, Luke.
I mean, it is. It is. I mean, you just gotta comply. You just gotta acquiesce. You guys gotta, just kinda... Family-friendly show here, but I had an analogy that I wanted to make here about just kind of going over a little bit and accepting the
just take it.
Let him insert free rectal exam. Yeah, just take all the shots.
Yeah.
Just be a heroin addict. Well, why don't you for Big Pharma?
It's just
that
easier.
Always knows what's better for you. That always knows what's right for you. But you brought up a good point because. I do believe there is COINTELPRO like activities.
Of
I don't know
course.
If you know of the terminology of how essentially U.S. intelligence agencies use very underhanded techniques in order to try to destroy any kind of protest, any kind of resistance against the establishment all the way back in the 1960s and 70s. I do believe that they were never held accountable for doing that, and they're probably doing that now, and that's why a lot of organizations, that's why there's a lot of drama, that's why there's a lot of implosions of a lot of good organizations that would be doing a lot of good work. I think that's why we don't have Tucker Carlson at Fox News. I think that's why we don't have...
Coincidentally.
We don't have.
He had a lot to say about the Ukraine war. I don't know. I don't know if that's related.
And Pfizer. He also had some very nice things to talk about our savior and overlord Fauci and Pfizer.
Yeah.
And the Trump scene. And I call it the Trump scene because that's what Trump wants me to call it. Donald Trump wants his name on the Trump scene.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it to him.
Yeah.
I'll give it to him. You can have it, Donnie.
Fantastic.
Very good. Very good. Very great.
Yeah.
Just amazing. But there's a reason we don't have WikiLeaks anymore. There's a reason we don't have Project Veritas anymore. There's a reason we don't have a lot of these other organizations that have been prevented from doing good work because of internal drama, because of made up, just personal crap and stuff that Steven Crowder, what he's going through as well, whether it's legitimate or even not, you kind of have to do wonder, why is private surveillance footage tapes being released to the general public about an argument that's happening in private?
Yeah.
And again, whatever you might think about the argument, it doesn't matter. But are we getting this kind of perspective? Are we getting this kind of look into Hunter Biden, into Joe Biden, into McConnell, into all these other politicians in Washington, D.C.? Are we getting their leaked surveillance camera footage from inside of their homes when they're arguing? Are we getting the Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton arguments? You can only imagine poor Billy Boy what he's going through married to that woman. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise. I mean, imagine.
The mortgage crisis, whatever. Living with Hillary.
Yeah. I want to see the surveillance tapes from Bill and Hillary Clinton's living room, and they're probably spirit cooking, and they probably got the poop, blood, urine, feces. They're probably summoning demons like John Podesta did with, you know, the spirit cooking, a story that, by the way, that we broke on WeAreChanged.org a few years ago.
WeAreChanged.org.
So, I want to see that. I want to see that surveillance footage. Why are we only seeing surveillance footage from, you know, all these other people who question the establishment?
Yeah, right.
And again, you can criticize them, you cannot criticize them, but you should take a step back and be like, why are we only seeing the worst and the worst private moments of these individuals and not everybody else?
I do think that, well, first of all, to put a less eloquent point on, I've seen a lot of men get divorced and it's almost never one-sided. That's what I'll say about that. And then, I do think it's pretty funny that when I say they, I don't mean anybody, but I mean, they've taken all these companies from us so easily. Project Veritas, just get rid of James O'Keefe for, oh no, he rented too fancy of a car. Or, oh no, he used a business expense for a boat, like every major business owner does. Okay, every major business owner lives in the gray where they spend money. I'm not saying it's okay, I'm just saying it is true. These are not like unforgivable sins, yet he was out. And then 2 months later, not that there was anything left without James O'Keefe, Project Veritas completely folds.
Yeah,
there's just nothing left. I want to bring up a question with Dr. O'K, who said, what do you think about Brett Beyer and Martha McCallum moderating the debate? Do you think they'll ask softball questions? Well, of course they're going to ask softball questions.
They're going to be a family-friendly show here.
Yeah.
They're going to be servicing all the Republican establishment members down there. They're the ones who got the knee pads last night. We were at the knee pad store, and we're like, where's all the knee pads?
Yeah,
and then they were like, oh, yeah, some Fox News hosts came in, and then they got all of them. Yeah, gee, I wonder why.
I wonder, it's going to be interesting. Do you think they'll ask about Ukraine?
I think it should be. I really want them to ask questions about Maui, right?
Maui would be a big one.
It might happen because it is current events.
It's topical, too.
The main thing I really want to hear them talk about is about Jeffrey Epstein. I want them to talk about, will you release the, this is going to be my question if I get into
we
the spin room. Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I want to ask all the presidential candidates, will you release the Jeffrey Epstein client list? Will you do it?
And
more importantly, have you ever been in a room with Jeffrey Epstein?
These are smart questions to ask. I think
I got to get the Brett Bear. Brett, if you're listening, hit up Brett right now on Twitter. If he's on Twitter, I don't know, he could be too much of a boomer. He probably isn't on Twitter.
But if he
is, be like, hey, please ask about Jeffrey Epstein. Please ask Threads.
Yeah, he's on Threads. Yeah.
Please ask about Jeffrey Epstein. Please ask about this. But what was the question that he had?
Well,
do you think there are going to be softball questions?
Yeah, there will be. It's the first debate. They're going to be softball.
There's a lot of candidates, so it's not going to be a lot of questions.
Yeah, there'll be five or six questions probably. Yeah. It'll be Ukraine, Maui definitely, generic economic question.
They should ask about COVID. They should ask what is going to be your policy as president if COVID returns. It's a psyop within a psyop. So if the Dr. Fauci, Peter Daszak, CIA bioweapon developed in Wuhan, China is going to be released again. If that version if that's going to be released on the general public again, how would you respond as president of the United States? That's just how I would frame the question. But for the normies, it would be if COVID returns again,
I just read an article today that was literally titled, this variant is the real deal.
Yeah. Frickin' hell.
What happened to the last 75? You told me that it was the real deal and that if I didn't stay inside, I would be killing grandma.
Yeah.
So now you're the president of the United States and the real deal happens. We've already seen several college universities reinstate masking. We've seen Hollywood studios reinstate masking.
Hospitals reinstated masking in New York.
Hospitals reinstated it. We see Alex Jones seemingly correctly predicting this, at least in a general sense, days ahead before all these articles. Like the days after he said, hey, I was told it's coming back. Sure enough, the articles start coming. Somebody asked, RFK Jr. promises to release the Myth-Informed Milwaukee.
Myth-Informed.
Oh, yeah.
Mike.
Where are they?
Hey, where are they?
Yeah.
Who's they?
I didn't say, I mean, where, what, if any,
Mike, you got warrants or anything? Do you want to come? Oh, okay, okay, you're fine.
Yeah.
All right. No, I'm just wondering if you want to just pop in and say hi.
Yeah.
I mean, if you guys want.
Yeah. No, I mean, but you would have to. You might as well ask the super chat right here.
I asked my super chat live.
Get it.
It's a Rumble chat live. Will UFOs come up tonight, guys? RFK Jr. Promises day one, he's going to release everything.
Well, thank you for that question, Myth Informed Milwaukee. I will say this: UFOs are distraction.
PsyOps.
Super.
Project Blue Beam.
Yeah.
Automatically.
I believe, but now, I don't know where you, because you, I believe obviously that aliens do exist, but I also believe they wouldn't give a crap about us.
I believed aliens existed until the government told me aliens existed.
Oh,
and then
now,
when the government said aliens existed, I'm like, I don't care. I don't give a, I just, on spite, I'm not going to believe you. Human, not human biologics, come on.
Right.
They had this pencil neck bureaucrat who's a yes man to almost everything in his life and his career on the national stage at Congress. Yes, non-human biology. Shut up!
It happened to be around. Now, I'm sure it's just a coincidence, Luke, but this is about right around the time that Hunter Biden's court case was going and his sweetheart deal that fell apart. I think everybody is weeping in unison that deal fell apart for one of the best redemption stories in American history, Hunter Biden.
Exactly. You know, he's a great artist. He paints a lot of really amazing stuff that's worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
He's able to get, you know, a lot of interesting eyeballs on his art. So, I think, especially with the technology that the military industrial complex has, they have a way of faking aliens. I think absolutely that has to be in one of the kind of trump cards that the establishment has behind, in their pockets that they could play at any time, especially if they're about to lose power or be exposed. They're like, set up Beep-Barp. Send in Beep-Barp. And then, oh, we got to bring in a one-world government. We all got to all come together
to fight
Beep-Barp. Beep-Barp.
I saw Independence Day.
Team world, team globalist, and you have to give up all your rights and all your power. We have to just unify and fight the aliens. So I wouldn't say that that's not out of the realm of probability. We are speculating here, but whenever the government comes out with anything, you should always see it from a skeptical perspective and a way like liars.
They're only telling
absolute liars.
They're only telling you things that are convenient to them 100% of the time. They're not coming out and admitting anything whether or not they want to do it or not. I want to remind that I am joined by Luke Rutkowski. We are Change. All of his socials are listed in the description. He's here on Rumble as well. He's going to be streaming later today.
5 p.m. We're doing another show here.
5 p.m.
on Rumble, rumble.com, with the great Chris Popkowski.
Rumble CEO lurking in the background.
He's watching us in the background here. If you want to come in here.
Come on in.
I don't know how the cameras are set up here. I think we got more room on this side.
I can slide over this way.
And then we could also share a mic, too. Chris, do you want to get in on here? We got another chair on here.
Yeah, let's share this. Oh, you're going that way?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And then we can just share the mic. And then if you're here, you should be in the shot. You're good.
Yeah, we practiced this a few times already, so we should be all
right. Oh, okay. Chris!
If we shift a little bit more to the left, we'll be good. But
isn't it weird to see the CEO of a company actually involved in their production? This is kind of mind-blowing to me. He's actually here working. We met in person last night for the first time. That was interesting. I wasn't expecting a full latex suit, but it was a good way, a good way to make an impression.
Well, thanks for guys coming out. It's great to have you guys here.
What are you expecting tonight? We've got
who else is going to be coming on? Because you got a lot of people coming here. Greenwald was here last night. Who else is coming on? What else is going to be the lineup other than the really amazing show called We Are Change? It's going to be on 5 p.m. on Rumble.com. Other than that show, who else do you have coming on tonight that you're really excited about?
So we got Don Jr. right after this.
And
I think he's bringing on Kari Lake and MTG.
So we're opening up for Don Jr. actually, Luke.
I think he's at 2 o'clock. And then Kimberly Guilfoyle as well.
Are they all on their own channels too?
They'll be simulcasting, I think, on both their channels at the same time. There'll be some Crowder. Not Crowder himself, but Gerald. Gerald's in town.
I thought he dipped.
Crowder couldn't come out here? Come on, Crowder.
He's live in his studio, I think, today.
Son of a gun.
Yeah.
Typical Crowder. texted me yesterday.
Damn Canucks.
Oh. Yeah, he's like, oh, how's it going?
So the internet has changed the last time I've been on with you. Yes. Remember, it was with Timcast. You gave me a really tough stream that one. Remember that?
Of course, you have to. You got to battle iron with iron, right? You got to fight for the best ideas. And if we're going to be better than the corporate media, if we're going to be better than YouTube, if we're going to be better than the establishment, you need to get through all of it to leave no doubt for the people out there that we're going to be doing our best here to respect free speech, because this is a fight of the lifetime. I don't know if you understand what you're doing here, Chris, with Rumble, but it is absolutely critically important for people to have speech in this country that has been slowly and surely denied to us since 9/11. It has been taken away slowly and surely. They're boiling the frog. There's a lot of frogs that are not just gay, but they're boiled over. Yeah. There's a few frogs remaining that are still good, that are still jumping up and still willing to fight for the larger principles, ideas that this country was founded upon. And the most important one is the First Amendment. It's free speech. You're fighting for that, and that's why let's get you know ahead to it. Let's iron sharpen iron. And how's the fight for you? Because I know there's a lot of obstacles, there's a lot of problems, there's been a lot of controversy with Fox as well. What can you tell us? What's been going on?
So it's been, like, plain and simple, very difficult in so many different ways. We're constantly under attack. Not only are we facing, like, your typical DOS attacks, and you're facing, you know, typical vendor attacks.
The French government came after you.
We got governments, too.
The Frenchies. Yeah, yeah. The French.
We got governments,
Emmanuel
too.
Emmanuel Macron, the former Rothschild banker, is like, oh, no, Rumble? Like, no.
That's crazy, though. Yeah. When you have an actual government that thinks they, like, you don't have any jurisdiction there, you're not operating there, that think they have the courage to go and knock on our door and say, hey, we're going to shut you off at the IP level if you don't do this. And remove this creator, and we're like, holy shit, what did this creator do? Did they incite violence? Did they do something crazy? Yeah. And we're like, holy shit, they didn't do anything.
We got kids watching, family. Holy shoot. Yeah. We got kids watching there.
Yeah. Come on, Chris.
All right, I'll behave. It was, you know, that's kind of scary. It's like very scary, actually.
No, it's terrifying.
Going up against governments and stuff like that, we had a choice. It was like, because you know that Timcast is using Rumble's cloud.
Yep.
They're testing it for us. And then you also have Trump's Truth Social using Rumble's cloud. And we get a letter saying they're going to null route us. They're going to turn off our IPs. Means that's a lot of collateral damage to our cloud and everything. So we had to make a choice. Like, we obviously couldn't make the choice for Timcast. We can't make a choice for Truth. So we made the choice to just shut off France entirely.
Yeah.
Because we didn't agree with
their France. Sorry, France.
Yeah, it's...
It'd be a great time to...
It kind of sucks. You have a VPN sponsor? Yeah, right. The great minds think alike. We're like, how are we going to monetize this right now? There's VPNs. If you're parlez-vous français and you want to get some real truth in there, if you want to get into conversations that the establishment doesn't want you to have, get a VPN. I don't have a plug here, but I think it's smart to, of course, always have that as a backup and to try to hide as much information away from the central powers and the central controllers that be. But no, Chris, it's a very, very, very important battle. That's why I'm here today. That's why I'm doing the live show at 5 p.m. That's why I use Rumble infrastructure as well for LukeUnfiltered.com, and a lot of other people use it as well. And it's great.
You guys are working on expanding that too, right?
Yeah.
The cloud services.
Yeah, we're looking to launch it and launch. Into beta here by the end of the year.
Maybe a little
sooner than later.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
I think the opportunity is immense. Like the same opportunity that AWS had, you know, going after the market. I think that not only do you have half the market, or not maybe half, but like you have a significant portion of the market that is very anti-censorship, and the same kind of sentiment that exists with video exists with a lot of businesses. But on the flip side, I also think that like a large part of the market is upset with pricing. You know, cloud was supposed to lower the price of hosting.
It
hasn't really done that
for
a lot of these companies. So I think we have two ways to attack the market, one on price and one on the big tech censorship that you're seeing, that type of sentiment. So I think we have a real opportunity to make a lot of change. But it all starts there. Like, owning your own infrastructure is existential. If we didn't own our own infrastructure, I could say that in July 4th weekend last year, we would have been out of business if we didn't have our own stuff. We had vendors come to us and want to parlor us, and we had to do some crazy moves within like a couple days that we did do. So we're at a point now where we're quite strong on that front, but it's existential to have your own your own systems and your own servers, and run as much of that as possible off your own stuff.
As a Canadian, can I ask you, there's a court decision this morning. I don't know if you're following the news. You might be kind of busy running a company. But Jordan Peterson lost his court case to, he got sent to re-education camp, essentially, for tweeting some mean things about, I think, Trudeau, and then, whatever. It doesn't matter really what it was. So Canada just ruled that, nope, sorry, that this actually isn't a punishment, and it's not an infringement on your... They don't have a First Amendment, but your freedom, they do have freedom of speech for the most part. So they're sending them to re-education camp now. It's wild because people look at this stuff when I cover it and they're like, it's happening in Jordan Peterson. But I was looking at it like, no. Like, Jordan's the first, and then it's going to get expanded to, they're the canary in the coal mine.
Yeah, I'm not familiar at all with that, but, based on the things that are happening in Canada, I am familiar with a lot of the policies in Canada that are extremely disheartening and very concerning on so many different levels.
Were there other governments that reached out to you that you can't talk about publicly?
No, I could talk about it. Like,
was France the most outrageous case of a government coming to you and be like, hey, block this user, block this person as well?
There's, in terms of, like, what the punishment would be, I guess, like, shutting you down at an IP level is pretty extreme. Brazil's been not any nicer. What's disheartening is that there's a lot of people out there that said they were going to fight against, like, censorship and government censorship, and they're not living up to it the way that we have lived up to it. So we're pretty much on our own when it comes to pushing back on government censorship.
Is there anything specifically that you want people to do or politicians to do? Is there anything that we could do for this fight for the First Amendment that would help? Is there a key issue here?
Well,
a strategy that we could implement, or a policy that we could call for that could help impact free speech?
I think us being here right now is a demonstration of how everyone has helped us already. Mm-hmm. And the best help you can give to Rumble is, support the platform, be on the platform, and advocate for free speech. Like, if we didn't have this large constituent and population on Rumble watching content, we wouldn't be here. Yeah. This would be on YouTube or whatnot. But because there's so much support for what we're doing, not just by, like, all the candidates pretty much unanimously, but also, more importantly, the people, it allows us and kind of forces the world to put attention on us and have us in places like here. So the most you can do is just, like, support Rumble in any way you can. Just
create an account. Get involved in the chat. I say this every day.
Exactly.
Create an account.
Exactly.
Don't be a lurker. Follow the people that you like, and start making Rumble the place you go first every day.
And tell people about it.
Yes.
Say, like, if you believe in free expression, like, and you believe in that deeply, like, push people to places that are doing it the best. Like, don't push them to places that are not advocating for that.
Yeah.
So that would be the best way to help. Obviously, like, we're under attack by Wall Street, we're under attack by the governments, we're under attack by everything possibly imaginable.
It's going to get worse too.
But that's for us to deal with, that's where, I got to roll up the sleeves and push back.
We got another super chat from Myth Informed Mike over here.
Yeah.
And he's specifically asking about X, and he wants to know about your comment specifically, Chris, on what you think Elon Musk is doing with the block feature, if you support that, if you don't support that. But more importantly, have you been in contact? Can you tell us if you've been in contact with Elon? Is there any crossover? Because it seems like the mission of X could be very similar to Rumble. Is there any crossover there? Is the mission similar or not?
So I've spoken to Elon. I've met him. What we're seeing, I think, like, where Twitter is and where Rumble is, our stances are very diametrically different. I think what we saw with Turkey, I don't know if you recall what happened.
Tell us.
Okay, so I would say that this was a very concerning moment, and not the decision that Rumble takes, and not the decision that Rumble would take. The Turkish government asked to censor specific people on Twitter. Twitter complied. I thought that was a very bad mistake.
And it had to do with a political opposition party to the Turkish government that was taken down by the requests of the Turkish
government. 80% of requests have been
the entire
by
purpose,
governments. By governments.
The entire purpose of the Twitter files was to talk about how governments shouldn't be censoring and influencing, and then to go like months later and comply to the Turkish government, which, you know, I don't think you have any meaningful... I don't know. I can't speak for their company, but I know Rumble... It's just something that Rumble would not do. We proved that we wouldn't do it, and we did it in a market that's probably, you know, much more meaningful on
much
a monetary
larger.
Basis
yeah.
than Turkey would be. But it was, in my opinion, a very poor decision, and I would love to have someone out there blocking countries against censorship at the same time Rumble is doing, because if you have like an... If you start putting up a wall to these countries, the people are going to get upset.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to create change. You're not going to create change by just capitulating when someone asks you to remove somebody that doesn't violate your own policies. Like, that's the wrong way to go. And like, you know, another thing, like we just saw, like there was a tweet where Laura Loomer just got demonetized on Twitter.
Yeah.
And Elon responded saying that, you know, we're not going to help you with advertisers. Go figure it out. I don't know what exactly you wrote, but
you're on your own.
It really wasn't something I would write to somebody.
Yeah.
And I responded to that. And once again, like something diametrically different that Rumble does here is that when we had a public company called Tremor Media come to us and say, hey, we need you to pull all ads off of Dan Bongino, we told that public company to pound sand, and we canceled them. Like, we shut them off from accessing any inventory on Rumble because they don't believe in the philosophy that we believe in. And like, if you're going to let advertisers start pushing around where your platform goes, then that's a concern. And then, you know, the other thing is the new CEO Twitter saying awful but not, what was it?
Awful but awful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who determines what awful is?
Yeah.
She also did that very good Pfizer commercial with all the presidents of the United States. With Clinton, Obama, and Bush.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and not a lot of trust there.
This isn't in the vein of freedom of expression. And, you know, every company has their reasons on why they do things. YouTube has theirs. You know, Twitter will have theirs. But, you know, it's very different than how... I've been running Rumble, and how the whole company at Rumble, you know, we have our goal. It's very difficult to be like an absolutist in this world, like it, because of a lot of different restrictions.
Nearly impossible.
Like, it's so difficult. But Rumble is doing like the most in holding that line. There is nobody holding a line like Rumble is, and there's nobody pushing the line back as close to the First Amendment like Rumble is at our size. And that's like really significant. It would be great if there's other companies that would do that, that would help push back with us.
Yeah.
And there has been, like, you know,
especially ones that say it, we're free speech.
What about decentralizing the kind of infrastructure? What if people ran their own kind of servers and their own nodes? Because I have lukeunfiltered.com, my own platform, and I use Rumble's infrastructure.
Yeah.
What if I could get my tech guy to help set up some of the infrastructure, so I host my own videos, I host my own content, but use Rumble as a directory? Would that be something that you would be potentially open to? And sorry, we only got 5 minutes left. We also got a... Do you call them super chats? What do you call them?
Whoa!
Rumble rants.
Rumble rants. We got a $100 Rumble rant. Is that what you call them? Sorry, I'm
Rumble
new to
rant.
This.
It's a Rumble rant.
I'm doing my first ever stream on Rumble later on today, 5 p.m., so don't forget to tune into that, but you got a $100 Rumble rant. I don't know if you want to quickly answer that question about decentralization, but then we'll go to Jeremy, and Jeremy will close those off.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, decentralization, like, is, in my opinion, a very... good thing. It's great. I believe in it wholeheartedly. I also think it's very difficult for video to decentralize video, just because if you try to decentralize video and serve video, it's, if you think there's live streaming problems on Rumble sometimes, you're going to have some real issues on any kind of decentralization. So the technology is not there to support video quite yet. But I'm a firm believer in it. And I think this
is also rack and cloud will fundamentally change this internet battle.
I believe that.
Yeah, I do too.
I think if we execute on rack, and we execute on cloud, which, you know, we're planning to have humming by 2024, I think that will change everything. If I can create a real economy, Rack is helping a creator make real money on their content, and if I can automate that process in a way that, you know, does it better than YouTube and allows you to be authentic and speak your mind, then I think that's a massive advantage over the competition. And then obviously cloud, I think the enormous business potential with cloud, there is enormous business potential with cloud, and Rumble has to build the cloud either way because it's existential to our business. So why not sell that excess?
Why not?
That creates
an
opportunity.
Gives you bigger scale then too.
Yeah, and if we do really well in the cloud, and this is like my real long-term type of vision, is that we do really, really well in the cloud, which I think is possible. That allows us to give more to creators, and it allows us to really like not get greedy on the creator side,
yeah,
and allow creators to take the lion's share of what they produce and what they make. And it'll really counterbalance the economy for Rumble in a way that I think can help grow the video side. And then eventually, you know, that cloud will be a major supporter of everything we do.
Chris, I want to thank you so much. I know you're very busy for coming on again. And by the way, thanks for supporting creators.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan. Obviously, I've supported Rumble long before I ever had any kind of connections with Rumble. And I really am always inspired by your commitment to staying true to the cause. And thank you to Luke Rutkowski, who's We Are Change here on Rumble. We'll be streaming. I'll be with him later today.
The show continues, 5 p.m. Yeah. Chris, come back as well. We're going to be asking more pointed questions.
After
Jeremy's going to be back here. You got coffee as well, right?
Yeah, you can buy my coffee.
Where's your coffee? I want some coffee right now.
Get some coffee, right? Coffee, but also make sure you check out at 2 o'clock. Is it an hour from now or 2 o'clock your time?
2 o'clock Central Time, 3 o'clock Eastern.
1 hour from now, Don Jr., Carrie Lake.
No, it's right after this one.
No, an hour break.
No, 2.
2 o'clock.
Oh, two now. It's going to... Oh, no, I'm on the East Coast.
All right.
Sorry Luke. There, Boomer. Yep.
Okay.
There we go. I'm like, where's the... I'm like looking at the... There's no camera there.
Check out Don Jr., Carrie Lake. I assume Chris will be there. I'll be back with Luke at 5, and then we've got the debate coverage tonight.
Who's going up after us?
Viva Frey. Right. Oh, Viva Frey.
The crazy Canadian hairy guy.
Yeah.
He's great. You got to check him out. Viva Frey.
Follow Luke. His links are in the description. Thanks
again. Buy his coffee.
Yes. Okay.